Good morning again. We are reading from Shamati Igrot, letter 41. Shamati letters, letter 41. We'll read the letter in a different. We'll read it a bit differently because Rabash's writings are a bit different from the article that we have in our book, so read it from a different origin. Okay, hello to my friend. There is connected in the bonds of my heart. As an answer for your letter that I didn't have the time to answer, about your first question, which is why did Yaakov bless the sons by an angel? It was clarified in writings of the Arizal that Naran the Tzadikim are the internality of the three worlds, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And the source of the souls is from the world of Bria. And the discernment of Ruach is attracted from the world of Yetzira, and Nefesh from the world of Asiya. And all the influences are attracted from the world of Atzilut, which is called He, His life, and His actions are one. And in the world of Atzilut, the Eser Sfirot that stand there divide into three Bchinot, three discernments. The first is Keter, the second Chochma and Bina, and the third Zeranpin and Malchut. And they are regarded as the root, meaning Keter. Mochin, meaning Chochma and Bina, and the receivers of the Mochin, meaning Zeranpin and Malchut, they are called Zachar and Nukva, Israel Velea, Yaakov Verachel. That the Zon receive the Mochin for the souls of the righteous, which are the discernment of the internality of the three Olamot Bia, the three worlds of Bia. Maybe I should draw something. So that it will be clear. We have the world of Atzilut, which is divided into Keter, Abba Veima, and Zon. Keter is Shoresh, Abba Veima, Mochin, and Zon are the receivers of the Mochin. Zon are divided into Israel and Yaakov, and here below we have Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh, Naran, and Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Bria is against Neshama, Yetzira is against Ruach, and Asiya is against Nefesh. And this is the Parsa. Naran and Tzadikim. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. These are Naran the Tzadikim.
Naran the Tzadikim.
Okay, we have Leah and Rachel. I'm sorry, again, the opposite. I haven't noticed. Leah is the big Nukva. Zad the Bina. Yes. Well, and the operator and the transmitter of the upper bounty is by an angel that is called Matat. And you should look in the Zohar and see that the angel Matat is called the minister of the world, that his name is just like the name of his Rav. And once he is called as Havaya, and once he is called Shadi, because he does two actions. The first, receiving the discernment of Chokhmah and bestows to Bia, and then he is called as Shadi, meaning that he said enough to his world and do not expand anymore, meaning the bounty of Chokhmah. There was a restriction so that they won't be able to receive the vessels, the discernment of Chokhmah and the vessels of the will to receive. This is why the emanator brought back the left line of the Tav, the letter Tav in Hebrew, above, and because of this, the leg of the Tav is thick, by bringing back the left leg above, so that this leg will not shine into the klipot. And the second discernment of the angel Matat, while having chasadim, is also in order to bestow to the lower ones, and then his name is just like the name of his Rav, which is the discernment of Havaya. And then Matat is completed, and is called by the name of his master, Havaya. And when Yaakov blessed the sons, then he should have attracted, should have continued this blessing according to the degrees, until the bounty will be attracted to the lower ones. The abundance will be attracted to the lower ones. And this is why he had attracted this abundance for the sons up to the angel Matat, and the Matat will pour the bounty to the sons. And this is why Yaakov blessed the sons by the angel Matat, which is the bestower and operator of the bounty from the world of Atzilut to Naran Tzadikim and Gimel worlds of Bia, and the three worlds of Bia. And this is why he said that the angel that redeems me, he will bless, etc. And by this you understand your second question in the matter of my name is in him. The Rambam wrote that my name is joined in him, because you've asked what is the meaning of his name, it's just like the name of his Rav, because we have no attainment in Atzmuto, but only by revelation. But the matter is that the meaning of joined name is that every name amplifies on attainment, because everything will not attain, what we don't attain, it will not define by name. And every attainment in spirituality is when there is a connection between the attainer and the attained, which is called joined by the attainer and the attained. And then we can say that there is revelation there, and shape, and special restriction on the boundaries. But an attainer without and attained has no restriction, has no, and no form, and no attainment is regarded, and it is regarded as there is no perception of him whatsoever, and is regarded as the discernment of essence without matter. And this is the matter of his name, meaning what is attained by us by the angel Matat is just like the name of his Rav, which is especially the discernment of revelation, meaning that Matat pours the discernment of Zon, which are the receivers of the Mochin Da'atzilut, where there are two discernments, Chokhmah and Bina. They are revealed to the lower ones as Chassadim and Chokhmah. Because when Matat bestows Chokhmah, then the name of his Rav is called Shadi. And when he bestows the discernment of Chassadim, then the name of his Rav is Havaya. And then the angel Matat is called the elder of his house that rules over all that he had. But the angel Matat, which is the minister of the world, and controls the world, that by him the bounty is attracted, the abundance is attracted to worlds of Bia, and by him Naran the Tzadikim are incorporated. And this is the meaning of my name is within him, meaning that when Matat bestows the names of Matat, he means the shapes of the abundance, which are incorporated from two shapes, which is Chokhmah and Chasadim. And these names act in Matat according to the measure of the name his Rav that he attracts. And turn to your third question, is why does the Torah elaborate in preceding Ephraim to Menashe? Why does the Torah precede Ephraim to Menashe? We can clarify this according to a law that we have in the work of the Creator, that the target should always stand in front of our eyes. We should always know what is our duty in life and which final point should one reach, so that he'll be able to say that he reached his rest in that state. Because only when the final goal is revealed in front of his eyes, then one can prepare himself by all means and activate the forces he has. Because if not so, then he does not know how to balance his forces, his strength, because the true means that are needed so that he'll be able to keep himself in the paths, in the dangerous paths, because he does not know the entire strength of the enemy that stalks him, that is stalking him. If he does not know who's the true enemy that one should subdue, this is why when we begin to speak about the orders of work, and so that his work will be blessed, then the purpose, the aim, should stand first. And it is also known that when we begin to walk in the path of labor, then we begin from the easy and proceed to the heavy. But first of all, we learn and do the easier things, the easier things to understand and to do, and then something that is a bit more difficult, and so on, until we're already accustomed and learned in the paths of the war against the desire, and then we attack the most difficult attacks. And according to the Rav said, it is found that we have two things. The one of them is that the one has to come before the other. And the opinion of Joseph was that we especially should speak from the paths of work according by their order, meaning from the easiest one to the heaviest one, to the most difficult one. And Yaakov's opinion is that first of all we need to speak about the target, about the aim. We should begin from the aim. Okay, additions to this letter. The first, and about your third question, which is why does the Torah, elaborate in preceding Ephraim to Menashe? It is known that preceding one from the other is up to the importance of the thing, and relating the work of the Creator, we need to know what is the importance, which is to emphasize the point of the target. And in the Zohar, it is written that there are two big ministers, two big and important ministers. The first is Ephraim, which holds Israel in the exile, and so that they will grow there. And the second minister is Menashe. And this is why he wants to forget them in the exile. And he clarifies there that there are two kinds of judgments. The first are judgments from the discernment of Chachamim, which are called Malchut, that is inside Bina. And one is from the discernment of Malchut, that is in Malchut, which are called judgments from the discernment of Malchut. And he clarifies there that every minister is incorporated from to these sermons. He clarifies there that the ministry of Menashe is incorporated with the Rachamim and Din in the Rachamim. And the ministry of Ephraim is incorporated with Rachamim and Din in Din, which is called Malchut. And it is found in Yaakov, it is the incorporation of Bina and Malchut, and Malchut and Bina. Okay? And it is found that Yaakov blessed them, meaning that the discernment of judgment was sweetened, and by this they will be redeemed. And because the order is Rachamim and only later Din, because it is known that there are four discernments. The first is reception in order to receive, in order to receive. The second is bestow in order to receive. The third is bestow in order to bestow. And the fourth is to receive in order to bestow. And the first two are not according to the true path of Torah. Are not truly according to the path of Torah, but Torah Lishma begins from bestow in order to bestow. And this is called the degree of mercy. And the second discernment of Torah Lishma is called receive in order to bestow, and this is called the judgment. This is why Yosef wanted to bless them according to the order of the work, that in the beginning we have the degree of mercy, which is called Menashe, and then the discernment of Ephraim, which is called the judgment. But Yaakov blessed them according to the importance, meaning that the entire and whole correction is the judgment. He's correcting the judgment, which is called darkness will shine as light. And the opinion of Yaakov, meaning that even though that we begin working with a degree of mercy, but the purpose should stand in front of him, that the target should be in front of him, that the purpose is to reach the end of correction. And afterwards, he will begin working according to the order, meaning in a degree of mercy. Second is Malach. The divinity is called Malach. Just like it's written, I send an angel before you. And the divine providence is called Malach, an angel, because the divine providence is working by Matat, which is during the exile. But during the redemption, he is cleaved to the king, which is called Zeranpin. The third, you should look in Parashat Vayetze, that clarifies the matter of and the and you should live back and forth. Fourth is Noel, and back is Matat. And he interpreted it there in the Sulam that the discernment of fourth is Chokhmah, and back is the discernment of Chassadim. And because he already has Chokhmah, and he goes to receive Chassadim, and it is found that he has the completeness of Chokhmah and Chassadim. And this is why Matat is called the minister of the world, because he has a completeness for the sake of the lower ones, that are in the three Olamot Bia, the three worlds of Bia, where Narad and Tzadikim are at, which are called the internality of Bia. And this is the matter of the elder of his house that rules over all that he has, meaning the Yeres Chokhmah and Chassadim, and his control over the world is by the name Shadi, which is the discernment of the first fourth, the first back, which is Chokhmah, which is left. This is the meaning of the name Shadi. And afterwards he rose up, which is the second discernment of back, meaning that he returns to the name Havaya, which is Chassadim, and it is called in the name of his master Havaya. Well, generally, we have a few kinds of students that, according to the student, the Kabbalist is choosing the language by which he will turn to him, address him, how to pull him, how to help him so he'll be able to understand and listen more. To such an extent that if he will speak in front of a group of students, then he might speak in a few ways, not only external ways, but also inner ways, in such a way that some will perceive and the others will not hear, or in the opposite way, in the other way around, because there's a very big difference between the souls in their character. Because generally only in Israel you have 12 kinds of souls, 12 tribes. That just like the Torah says that it was forbidden to intermingle, even to get married between the tribes. To such an extent, the root of each and every kind is different. The direction is different. But afterwards, when they began the descent, then they mixed, and it was allowed to get married with other tribes. The kinds of presenting the wisdom and explaining the wisdom are very difficult. The types, the categories of explaining the wisdom is very difficult, and we should take this into consideration. And we should not think that everything has to be only in one method and one system and in the same way, but just like their faces are different, so is their intentionality. And we see the way the language of the Zohar is different from the language of Talmud Esra Sefirot, even though they speak about the same things. And this is why it is not a wonder. We shouldn't wonder why did he write here about angels and the fact that he mentioned names instead of names of Orot and Kelim. Even though that truly that for our generation this language does not fit our generation, because the ones that are truly awakened towards spirituality, towards attaining the wisdom in this generation, then he's awakened after he has this yearning for knowledge. So the knowledge, the language he's used to is a language that is closer to science. There's a scientific language. This is the difference between Kabbalists and the sages that used to live in previous generations, because then, regarding the generation, because generation was in previous revelations of the will to receive, and wills that came before the will for knowledge, and this is why the Kabbalists used to speak in a language that fits generation, just like the Zohar, just like the Zohar's language and the books that were written between the Zohar and the Ari. And the Ari was the one that opened the process from which began the revelation began, the redemption began, I'm sorry. And this is why he begins speaking in language of Orot and Tkelim, lights and vessels, and from this situation and on, the souls begin entering the last phase of their development, the final phase of their development. And then, according to what I've just said, the wisdom of Kabbalah begins to draw closer to the language, to the scientific language.
And if
we can't even describe the Orthodox people and in the Mediterranean days, or maybe even before this, in the days of the Tanaim or the Geonim, if you would have seen the shape of Talmud Sefirot, questions, answers, dictionary, and so on, you wouldn't have, according to the external shape of the book, would have never believed that Kabbalah can be presented by such a way to the people. How could that be? But we, because we exist in a generation that is after the will for knowledge, and the last few reincarnations are a part of this new generation, then for us this is the right approach, this is the right language. But the ones that their soul is not ripe yet for the correction, for the true correction, then they are still a situation which you don't understand the wisdom of Kabbalah is a science, just like every other science. But in every other science, just like we live our lives naturally by being pushed by our Rishimot, the difference is that the wisdom of Kabbalah, we attract godliness, and godliness in Gematria is nature. So we attract it, so we continue developing by science, that the wisdom that includes the seven sciences and the seven wisdoms is the wisdom of Kabbalah. And the one that attains feels and understands that everything is one nature, there is no one except from him, and there is no difference between what he sees and attains in this world and in the spiritual world, because everything is clothed in one sequence. This is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is truly the wisdom, the science that speaks about the nature, the general nature of reality. Everything is incorporated inside this wisdom, inside this. And we cannot divide between the corporal and the spiritual nature. It's not that it is forbidden to divide between the two, because the lower one attains the upper one. When he attains it, then with his nature, with the surrounding, with everything that he is, he sees, feels everything he attains as his perception of reality. He glues this to Achab de Elyon. He is rising alongside with Achab de Elyon, with everything that he is. And then we cannot divide between what he attains by the help of his will to receive, or by his will to receive that is equipped with the Masach. The entire nature becomes as one.
And
this is why, of course, that there's the providence of Shaddai, and the process is that through this we reach the revelation of Havaya. And everything is up to the degree of the chassidim, degree of the masach one acquires. We speak about attaining godliness. Everything if one feels, everything that one is capable, that one can speak of, is attainment according to the extent that he can measure his words, according to restrictions he can set on his wills, to invert them in such a way to vessels. But just like we see here in this letter, but if the student is still in, is not in a developed situation, but he is still, but we still need to speak with him in a language that precedes the language of Kabbalah, the language of lights and vessels, then we speak with him in the language of the Tanakh, the language of the Halakha, in all these languages that precede our language. And this is the reason why Rabash wrote this letter the way he wrote it to his student. I've also seen the way he speaks with and meets with different people, not on, when he was asked to explain something, not general things, but when he was asked to say a few words, then he spoke, then his language was different from time to time, even though that inside them he passed the message, but the clothing of the message was very different.
Well,
okay, by this we've finished the letters of Rabash, and we'll see.